Welcome to Not Quite Right. My name's Ed.
And I'm Amanda.
And we are at Words on the Waves, speaking with Michael Burge, who is an author, a journalist, and he's here at Words on the Waves moderating two panels, two very different panels.
And that's a big job, being a moderator. You've got to read the books, and then you've got to find, I suppose, some talking points, some links between those books to connect with the authors and the audience. And so he spoke to us a little bit about that role and also some of the differences between his experience writing out in the bush and where some of these novels were set in the city of Sydney as well.
So here is our discussion with Michael Burge. We're here at Words on the Waves with Michael Burge. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So you're here to moderate the City of Sin panel. Tell us about that panel.
We have Tara Moss, whose most recent book is The Italian Secret, and Fiona Kelly-McGregor, whose most recent book is The Trap. And so, of course, both these books have significant settings in the big bad city of Sydney. And today I'll be sort of fessing up that I'm actually from the bush. So it's kind of ironic to be asked to come along to talk about Sydney and as a historical crimey setting, but I have done my time in the city of Sin, so I'm looking forward to chatting with those two authors.
And so, as the moderator for the panel, have you had to do a lot of research and prep for today, or are you?
My main prep is just remembering what it was like to live in Sydney, which I did when I studied, and a couple of stints afterwards, but also reading their work. I mean, they're incredibly different pieces of fiction, both of those books. But what they have in common is kind of the 1940s in Sydney, the post-war, or sort of during the war in the case of Fiona's book, but the 1940s for sure, when I think probably one of the most dramatic periods of change in the city of Sydney since the settlement, I would say. The US troops in the city, changes in laws and liberty and freedoms, the brownouts, they call them, when they're trying to save electricity and also stop Sydney being a target. And Sydney was a target for attack at the time. So very seminal period in the history of the city. And then, of course, all the darkness and the war and the risk factor led to a lot of crime and dark deeds.
So, as it does.
Yes.
All over the world. And so what interests you in particular about the time period and the setting?
The time period, I think, because in both Tara's and Fiona's books, they deal with change in the social fabric. Now, this was particularly dramatic for women. Well, for all people. I mean, the risk factor, the concern, the anxiety of about war, a war going on. But it also created a huge amount of freedoms, particularly for women. So the idea of the home front, the support, jobs, there was more equal opportunity. Of course, it was taken away to a large degree later. But both these books deal with a lot of those freedoms at the time that they were granted. And that really does interest me. That's what I think all people in Australia have in common, whether we're from the bush or from the cities or both.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're an author yourself?
Yes.
Have you written about any of those topics, or is this kind of outside of your own
wheel? Well, there's some crossover in my book and Fiona Kelly-McGregor's The Trap. The titles of my recent book and her most recent book are quite similar. Mine's called Dirt Trap and hers is called The Trap. And both of us deal with historical gay hate crimes and also the entrapment scams that were perpetrated by the police historically and, you know, within my lifetime as well. So that we have that crossover in the sort of the queer history of Sydney. But there are themes of that through Tara's book as well, the change in attitudes. In Tara's book, it's manifest in a broad sort of brushstroke there, which is about equality for Indigenous people. So one of the colleagues of her, Billy Walker, private investigator, is a character called Shyla, who is an Indigenous woman. And I found that very interesting. And Tara doesn't deal with it in a blatant way. It's actually within the fabric of the community that she builds around her Billy Walker heroine, who this is the third book that we've seen her in. So it's this crossover of sort of opportunities for unexpected identities that I think all of our books have in common.
And so tell us about your other writing as well.
Oh, well, I'm a journalist by trade. I've been a journalist for many years. Look, I was fascinated this morning to hear the session with Nikki Sava and David Marr. Words on the Waves, I think, has got a lovely political edge growing to it, which I find really refreshing. And, you know, in politics these days, there's a catchphrase, just let people say what they feel, particularly politicians. But look, it was a refreshing session about people just saying what they feel, where they feel we're at as a country, So, I take a lot of that into my heart, but also as a rural resident, even though we're still in the regions here at Words on the Waves, it's a wonderful regional festival. It's a lot closer to the city than I live.
Yeah.
And this idea of having new concepts and new personalities in writing, new themes, ideas, it's overflowing with them. It's fantastic. And it's only halfway through the first day.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, actually, it's not the first day, is it?
Well, no. There's a lot of satellite events. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think you raise an interesting point because it's been a bit of a fraught time for festivals, writers' festivals in Australia, and especially on that theme of politics and people's differing views and how they are reflected in perhaps a panel. And I think it must be difficult when you're coordinating a festival, thinking about some of those things and some of the risks, I suppose, that you take on. What's your feeling on that? I mean, there's been all this scandal, I suppose, of authors getting uninvited to events and all this sort of stuff.
Yes. So. Oh, look, it's been on my radar for a lot longer than this sort of recent wave. So I can remember, I would say it's pretty much exactly 10 years ago that I think it made the news internationally that Germaine Greer had been deplatformed from a writers' festival or a conference in the UK around issues of gender equality. And so in that 10-year period, I think we've seen so many new examples of that going on. And as a writer, a journalist, a citizen and a thinker and a fan of the process of politics, it is a very challenging time. And I think if we can't express ourselves at a writers' festival, then it's probably nowhere we can really express ourselves. And by we, I don't just mean writers. I mean everybody.
Yeah.
There's a great connected, engaged crowd here in every session I've been to at Words on the Waves. And I was thinking this morning in this session with Nikki Sava and David Marr about Nikki's book Earthquake. That says it all in the title of that book, and we're here to talk about books as one major aspect. It's this shake-up. You know, things are not the same after an earthquake. And so I think it's wonderful to see a festival that hasn't asked for censorship in what I might be saying here as a moderator. I was here in previous years and I didn't get that sense about that either. But on the same token, I do understand the risk aversion that there is because these festivals don't just happen off the back of ticket sales.
Yeah.
And so there are other considerations for other events, and it's a fraught issue to speak about. But my main reaction to your thoughts about your question about that is that it's refreshing to be in a place where ideas can be expressed.
Mm.
On occasion, there's, you know, some comment from the floor. David Marr did a great job moderating, sort of opened it up to people to start asking questions about halfway through instead of the sort of traditional period at the end. So it did encourage people to, you know, it's a bit like a town hall meeting. Mm. I guess it's reflective of this electorate that we're in if we want to talk politics. So where I come from, that would be a very different experience, but just as valid, just as needed. And we don't necessarily do that enough in the bush.
Yeah. So where are you from?
I'm from the New England region. Okay. I'm actually from a little blink and you'll miss a town called Deepwater, which listeners might know where Tenterfield is. So we're about half an hour's drive south of Tenterfield, about an hour from the Queensland border. So pretty far northern inland New South Wales.
And so you do your journalism remotely then?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, luckily I'm able to do that. When I moved, I'm from the bush originally, but when I moved back there almost 10 years ago, I did sort of think that that was the end of journalism for me.
Okay.
I thought maybe I'd be able to get a job at a local paper or something like that. But the journalism I've done since then is because people have approached me because they want journalists in the bush to write about people and processes in the bush. And that was such a wonderful surprise to me to be asked to do that. So I freelance mainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do you do any farming? What else do you do out there in the bush?
No, I'm from a farming family. Half my family were farmers and the other half were from the city. So no, many of my neighbours and colleagues at the tennis club and in the community groups that we have are graziers. And we've been having quite a period of, we call it a dry spell. Not quite a drought. It seems to, touch wood, have broken a little bit. We've had some good rains. So you don't have to be a farmer living in the bush to be connected to the sense that all people who work in agriculture are feeling. So it's been a bit of a fraught time. The last time I remember like this was actually 3 years ago in October. We had a bit of a repeat of Black Summer. Very early in the season, there were bushfires right throughout the New England region and the Darling Downs. And I came to Sydney for a writers' festival, and it was a nice escape from that feeling. It's a very anxious feeling living in those situations, and that's not unique to the bush. Everyone experienced it in Black Summer.
So, Michael, you're not here just for this panel. You're back again tomorrow, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
Give us a little sneak peek of your other panel.
Well, tomorrow the panel is called Transported. The most I think I've ever moderated, most authors in one session, it was four. So tomorrow there's three, so it's not quite the super highly risky panel of four authors. Because I'm an author too, so I always count myself in the lineup. So we have a panel of four authors, myself included, but we're talking to Emma Pei-Yin, the author of When Sleeping Women Wake, Lauren Keegan, who wrote The Woman in the Seal Skin, and Heather Rose is here, of course, talking about her book, A Great Act of Love. And so they've called this panel Transported. It's a big word, but it's actually loaded with meaning. And so I've had quite a journey trying to find a way to narrow that meaning down to 45 to 60-minute discussion. So I've found, I think, a way to do that. And it's all about the pre-colonial, the colonial, and the post-colonial world. So the subjects that those three women have written about do bridge an enormous period from the late 17th century right through into the Second World War with Emma's book. And so it's a unique opportunity, I think, to really sort of look at the whole colonial experiment before it took place and the reasons leading up to it, while it was happening with Heather's book, and the kind of aftermath in Emma's book. And the precursor, of course, is Lauren's book, The Woman in the Seal Skin. It's set in the last decade of the 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big subject, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all around the world, right? We're talking about, just reading the description here, Hong Kong and Japan as well. So it's not just the Australian experience.
No, exactly. The Orkneys is the setting for Lauren's book. And yes, Hong Kong under Japanese occupation for Emma's. And Heather's book is kind of the thread that takes us between those two places, because she comes to Van Diemen's Land, Tasmania, but via many, many parts on the face of the earth. That's the golden thread that I'm sort of weaving things together with in that chat.
Well, I wish you well on that. I think sometimes these panels, it's bringing together different authors and trying to make them fit, right? Yeah. All the different puzzle pieces fit together.
Yes.
But we're all here celebrating the written word, I suppose. So
we are. Yeah. Look, authors, when we get together, we find a way that we fit, like it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, because we have so many things in common, even if what we're writing about is just so vastly different. And that's a hallmark of writers' festivals for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in your upcoming panels. Hopefully it's not too difficult to wrangle these authors.
Thank you.
Thank you for speaking with us.
A pleasure. Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of the Not Quite Right podcast in collaboration with Words on the Waves Writers Festival. Check the show notes for more information about Words on the Waves and the books mentioned in this episode. If you're new to the podcast, please join us again for our regular episodes where we talk about media, culture, and the art of writing.
Something doesn't seem quite right.